Okay, so my name is Marlene, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. And it's so nice to see so many people at a meeting. And thank you, Janet, for asking me to share. So good morning, friends. My name is Marlene, a grateful compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. I'm very happy to be here. I would like to welcome any newcomers. Please stick around. Your life is going to change beyond your wildest dreams. We suggest that you try 6 meetings before you decide if OA is for you. And if not, we cheerfully will refund all your misery. I know you came here to lose weight. Why not? There's a lot of success here in OA. But if you only lose weight, you will be shortchanging yourself. I'll explain all that to you. Just sit back and listen and be prepared to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. I first want to say this is my story. I don't speak for OA. And please take what you like and leave the rest. According to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 58, our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. Until I came into program, I carried with me feelings of inadequacy, helplessness, and hopelessness. Low self-esteem was my constant companion, as was misery and depression. Not a happy way to live. And I never really knew how I felt. I mostly moved on autopilot, doing what I thought was best, but leaving a lot of hurt feelings and bewilderment behind. I had tried leaving OA once before, and that didn't work out at all. The lesson I learned was that I'm human, allowed to make mistakes, and to never give up. I first came to OA in July of 1983. I heard something wonderful at that first meeting. I have a disease and it isn't my fault. I can't stop overeating. It felt like a big weight came off my shoulders. Some of the guilt and shame around the food was relieved, but I still had a long way to go. I was the middle child of a family that showed love through food. I don't remember hearing, "I love you," from my parents. I do remember hearing, "Eat this, it will make you feel better. Eat this, stop crying." However, I know my parents loved me, but I needed more because that's when I have a disease of more. I never have enough. More is always better. I'm still working on that today. So I stayed in OA for around 7 years. For about 5 minutes, my weight got down to 57 kilos or 125 pounds. I was great at telling my story and being on the speaker circuit, but I never worked the steps. So of course, I started overeating again, and the weight came back on, plus bonus pounds. Eventually, I left. I guess I needed to do more research. Fear, guilt, shame, despair, and self-pity were abundant in my life. That 10-letter word, fat and ugly, still haunted me. And I better add stupid, because that's what I felt about myself. I was a single mother raising 2 difficult sons all on my own. The food was my friend. It helped me through many a difficult situation. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. That promise has really come true for me. I don't know if I could have gone on without the mind-blowing numbness that overeating provides me. Food was my friend until the day it was not. It eventually became a bigger problem than what I thought it was saving me from. Then, by the grace of God, I received a phone call from someone OA. She was looking for another Marlene and got me on the phone by accident. I think not. That was all the push I needed. So I found my way back to program in December of 1997. And thank you, God, I have never left again. Through relapse and recovery, weight loss and weight gain, I know the only answer for my food addiction is the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. My weight was at an all-time high of 110 kilos or 242 pounds, and I was done researching. I hit the ground running. I knew I had to work the steps in order to be successful. But what does that mean, work the steps? I heard that over and over again, but still it was unclear to me what to do. So the first thing I did was to get a sponsor and actually call her. That's important. You can have a sponsor, but if you don't call her, it won't work. And this relation is a godsend. Here you have someone that is willing to take your calls, to answer your questions and guide you through the steps, to listen to you without judgment, a real gift. This is a spiritual program, and I know that scares some people. I believe you have to be desperate to do the required work, to have tried everything else until we realize this is where I can get well. I'm not a bad person trying to be good. I am a sick person trying to be healthy. And for many years, I felt wrong, the odd person out, worthless. I'm always looking for the easier, softer way, and there is none. For a true compulsive overeater / food addict like me, this is the only solution. Even if my doctor told me I must stop overeating or I will die, I could not. I am incapable of controlling my eating. Since the food is not the solution, what is? God and the 12 steps. So I started at the beginning with step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Well, I thought I had that down pat. Easy. Look at me, overweight. Couldn't stop eating once I started. One chocolate bar? Are you kidding? I always wanted more and more and more. The principle behind step one is honesty. That's really hard for me to do, to actually tell someone what I ate. Just too much shame and guilt around what I put in my mouth. Then my life unmanageable? How could that be? I worked hard to support myself and my children, even having two jobs for over 10 years. But was I excelling or just getting by? When I would yell at my kids when all they really wanted was my attention, I buried my anger and fear in fake cheerfulness. Everyone said I had a nice smile. If they could see inside me, they would be surprised. I need to remind myself every day that I am powerless over food, and I don't have to carry around the guilt and shame. I have a disease. I am not normal when it comes to eating. And even when I eat a healthy, abstinent meal, I can get the feeling that I want more. I have to take the tiger out of the cage at every meal and then pray I can put him back in at the end. But thank you, God, there is a solution, and that is the 12 steps. Step two says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I was so out of control with the food, but I kept on turning it to feel better. How sane is it to come home from work, make dinner for my family, and then sit in front of the TV shoveling in the food, eating so mindlessly that I never really tasted or enjoyed it. I believe now I was trying to fill a hole in my soul that could only be filled with God and His love. The principle behind step two is hope, and an acronym for hope is hearing other people's experiences. Finally, I believe there is an answer to my allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. I can't do this alone. Step three is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. I love step three because it says care of God as we understood Him, not a Jewish God, not a Christian God, not a religious God. The first thing I had to do was get a God of my understanding. Previously, I had a bargaining God. For example, God, if you help me find my lost purse, I'll go to synagogue on Saturday, or I'll be good, whatever. So I made a list of all the attributes my God would have. First of all, He had to love me unconditionally, no matter what. He wanted the best for me. He would lovingly guide me always and never give me more than I can handle. And so I turned my will and my life over to His loving care. The principle behind step three is faith. An acronym for faith is fantastic adventure in trusting Him. One of the promises of step three is once we compulsive overeaters truly take the third step, we cannot fail to recover. Wow, we cannot fail to recover. What a great promise. I know it's true because it is happening to me, thank you, God. The action steps are 4 to 9, where I examine my past, look for my character defects, admit my faults, ask God to remove them, and make restitution. In other words, clean house. Step four, a searching and flawless moral inventory. An honest look at my past behaviors and relationships. No excuses. I had to look for my part. When I did my first fifth step, I was afraid to say out loud to another person my bad behaviors. But my sponsor didn't blink an eye, and I felt such relief in getting this stuff off my chest. God was surely with me that day. Step six is simply willingness and honesty. I have often had to pray to be willing. I still cling to some of my defects, like impatience, selfishness, and fear, to name a few. But that's why I keep coming back. I'm human, and I'm learning to be kind to myself. It certainly is an ongoing job. Step 7 is about humility. I relate to the line in the AA 12 and 12 that says a whole lifetime geared to self-centeredness cannot be set in reverse all at once. What a relief. This tells me there is no deadline or that I have to be cured by a certain date. No, I just continue daily to work the steps and have God close. One of my favorite expressions is there's a little bit of good in the worst of us and a little bit of bad in the best of us. This helped me accept myself even more. Steps 8 and 9 are concerned with personal relationships. Thank you, God, for these steps. Because of them, I now have today an unbelievably loving relationship with my daughter-in-law. We didn't start out that way, I can tell you. My need to control got in the way. And a number of years ago, there was a period of a few months when her and my son wouldn't even talk to me, just yelled at me. I cried so much, but eventually I saw I needed to change my behavior. And with God's help, I did. My behavior, not hers. Our relationship has grown into such love and togetherness that it is beyond my dreams. She is a daughter I never had. She turns to me when situations get tough and asks for my advice. Wow, unbelievable. This is the miracle of recovery. And of course, she's the gateway to my grandchildren, the loves of my life. This joy and love I receive from my family is better than any food I could eat. Step 10 promises me that as long as I continue this way of life, I am neither fighting my addictions or avoiding temptation. The problem has been removed. It does not exist, and that is how I will react as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. And therein lies the rub. What exactly is fit spiritual condition? This brings me to step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And thank you, God, we are all able to define how we work this step. I need to constantly be reminded of God. I can't forget for one second that all the blessings and miracles in my life are due to him. I use the acronym PAUSE, practice always using step 11. The help is always there for me. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. My meditation practice changed a while ago. It's hard for me to still my mind. It's constantly on the go and sometimes with too much negativity. I need guided meditation, so I installed an app on my phone. It's easy to listen before I even get out of bed in the morning. I'm feeling much better about my ability to meditate than I have ever. Step 12, help others. We are so blessed that the only way this program works is to share with others our recovery, ensuring our program will endure. It's brilliant and gives me the best friends in the world, people who understand me, think like me, and I don't have to feel abnormal or alone anymore. Like I said, I came back to OA in December 1997, nearly 25 years ago. Wow. I got a sponsor and started working with her. I made a minimum of 5 telephone calls a day. And at this time, I was working full-time, spending approximately 3 hours a day back and forth to work and raising my children. So who did I call? Anybody. I didn't care. I got names off the list and called. I often hear the excuse, I can't call somebody I don't know. What if they're busy? I didn't care. Or I hear, what we talk about. A good topic of discussion is always, what step are you on today? The phone is easier to pick up than you think. I just did it. And this built up a wonderful network of OA friends, people who understood me, who did similar things with food that I did, and I could turn to when a crisis hit. Like in 2002, when my job became redundant, my boss was upset as I was, telling me the bad news. So when I left work that day, what did I do? I drove straight to my sponsor's house to talk to her. She had a simple solution. I could either live in the fear or live in the faith, my choice. And thank you, God, I chose faith. Sure enough, I got another job at the hospital, and this one was a big promotion. So then 2002, I celebrated 5 years of abstinence. And then it went downhill. I started dating and spent less time doing my program work. Recovery and God were not my priority. Good years and bad years followed. My older sister passed away in 2004 at the young age of 57. That great job I got in 2002 came with a boss who didn't like me. And after my sister died, she used that as an opportunity to let me go. So here I was, 55, retired, and newly remarried. It was a very scary time. During the next 10 years, I worked the program somewhat haphazardly, slipping and sliding, weight back up and down again. 1.5 years of abstinence and a big weight loss before I gave it all away again in 2010. But this time, I never left OA. I kept coming back. I always had the hope that somehow, someday, I would get it. I learned so much during these trying times. Most importantly, I learned to never give up and be kind to myself. Very important lessons for everyone. I am human and make mistakes. I am not a mistake. As usual, God was looking after me. In October 2015, I heard about a pilot project for food addicts through a treatment center that was usually for alcoholics. I believe the world is finally seeing that food addiction is real and similar to alcoholism. I was very excited about the news. I figured the only way for me to get abstinent was to lock me up. I got accepted into the program, but in the 3 weeks leading up to my admission, I gained 10 pounds. I figured I might as well eat everything now because soon I wouldn't be able to. For once in my life, I overate in front of others. Normally, I didn't do that. I was a sneaky, secretive eater, but now I just didn't care. So December 14, 2015, I went into the treatment center for a three-week stay. Remember at the beginning, I said this is my story. I don't speak for OA. We are allowed to get outside help, but I want to be clear. My recovery comes from Overeaters Anonymous, which brings God into my daily life. In treatment, we have a very strict food plan. No sugar, no flour, no grains, and everything is weighed or measured. We met daily to work steps 1 to 3, and we attended OA meetings outside the house. I had a food buddy to help me with the measuring, and we shared our feelings around the food. Good news is that I was never hungry, although for me, hunger has nothing to do with my overeating. I am obsessed with food, and my disease tells me it's okay to eat just a little bit, or I'll start tomorrow, or I don't care, or otherwise. My disease is always out to get me. My disease wants to kill me. So I spent 21 days away from home learning a new way of life. I worked on my obsession with weight and the scale. I learned that I am responsible for the action and God is responsible for the results. When I concentrate on recovery, I lose weight. When I concentrate on weight, I lose recovery. So what do I do to keep this recovery in my life? I work the steps. God is in my daily life and I use all the tools. My plan of eating has changed many times over the years. 1.5 years ago, I started intermittent fasting, eating only one meal a day. This is very helpful for my health because I have Crohn's disease, an inflammatory bowel disease. And as I age, sadly, I need less food. I don't think this food plan is for everybody. Find out your trigger foods and stay away from them. Work with a sponsor or nutritionist. Be honest and kind to yourself. Another tool I love is literature. I continually read and study the Big Book, the OA, and AA 12 and 12, and I get tons of experience, strength, and hope from our two daily readings for today and Voices of Recovery. Meetings is another favorite tool. And today, because of this horrible pandemic, we have an opportunity to go to meetings at all hours of the day. Yeah, like right now, right? From all over the world and from our home. It's so amazing. I've made so many connections in the past. Uh-oh, I just lost my spot here. Service has helped me immensely. Before OA, I thought I was stupid, useless, and had no common sense. Doing service shows me that I can do a good job. There's always someone to help if you ask. Over the years, I've done a number of service positions. For example, treasurer, regional rep, world service delegate, sponsor, and now I can add Zoom host to my list. So what's my life like now? In the beginning of the pandemic, I was going to 4 meetings a day, my disease of more in action. Now I do 3 or 4 a week. I am feeling my feelings. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not. But that's life. I call my sponsor and take calls from my sponsees. Life is quite the adventure, filled with changes. I got divorced a few years ago, and then in 2019, after living in my house for 40 years, I sold it. My plan was to move into a small apartment and then travel, right? And then look what happened. The pandemic came. Anyways, thank you, God, today I have no financial worries during these hard times, and I'm very grateful for that. And then recently, I had to leave that apartment because the people sold their house, and now I'm in a brand new apartment. And if you see that picture, my background, that was taken from my balcony at 5:30 one morning, the sunrise. So, like, God keeps looking after me. I just feel so blessed.
That's 20 minutes, Marlene.
Okay, I'm just finishing up. Because I put my program and my abstinence first, I continue to live a full life. I am filled with abundance, blessings, and miracles, my ABM. God has proven to me over the years that he has my back, so I don't need to worry. Just buckle up for the ride. Thank you so much for listening to me, and I wish you all a peaceful and serene abstinence one day at a time. Thank you.